So Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5, the first 12 verses. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. And we pray that God would bring these words to life for us. So the theme that I've been following as we've reflected on these beatitudes, these blessings, are the upside down blessings of Jesus. And there will be a point today where I have to look out for a heart, an ear, an eye, and hands. And that is pointing ahead to our response, a heart response, listening, seeing, and doing. So that's just to keep you in mind. When they appear, we're almost done. Okay, or when they appear again. Okay. So these blessings, these beatitudes, as we know them, that's the Latin word, but these blessings that Jesus speaks, they come at the beginning of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, 6, 7, is recorded a whole series of teaching that Jesus gave for his disciples, and obviously many others were listening to him as well. And this sermon, this series of teaching, it's about Jesus, it's about what was called the kingdom of God, and it's on the theme of justice. So Jesus, the kingdom of God, and justice. And really, what it's all about are the values of the kingdom of God. It's about what matters in life. It's about what is important in life. It's about who is significant, really, in life. It's about who truly has status. And of course, if we were to believe our media, what matters would be very different from what Jesus considered matters, or what is important, or who is significant, who should have an honoured place, as it were, or given a title or something. If you listen to the media or heard some of our politicians speak, you would have a very different perspective from that that is given by Jesus. Now, this is the upside down blessings of Jesus, because in the ancient world, being blessed was something that you looked for. When Jesus speaks these blessings, he's not inventing something new and everybody's amazed at this new idea. No, Jesus is referencing something that everybody is familiar with. Everybody knows about being blessed, and they see people who are considered to be blessed. But in the ancient world, the people who are considered to be blessed are those who essentially had status and significance and wealth and health and position and so on, such that they lived beyond the cares and concerns and worries of the world. And because they had, you know, wealth and health and status and significance and power, everybody thought, well, the gods, the many gods, must have blessed them. And it was normal for people to look up to them and think, if only I could be blessed like them. And even in our day, it's very easy for us to think, well, so-and-so has retired at 45, you know, and they've got a pension bigger than I'm earning, working full-time or something. And they have a big house and three cars, and they have foreign holidays, and they have no worries in the world at all. And it's very easy for us to think, they are blessed. Surely God has blessed them. Now, Jesus takes this idea of being blessed and turns it upside down. And when we read these blessings and reflect upon them, we realize that Jesus is not pointing to those who have a great deal, those who are significant, in a sense, in the world's eyes. He's speaking to the lowly people. He's speaking to the weak and the feeble, the humble, those who live by love and simplicity, and saying, do you know what? As far as God is concerned, the blessed people are not these people up here. The blessed people are the people down here. And that's why they are the upside down blessings. Well, today we focus upon this blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And that's how I learnt it, but it, as we read today, it's the children of God. Peacemakers are not the same as peace lovers. Yeah? Peacemakers are not the same as peace lovers. Now, peace lovers, they like to keep the peace. They seek to avoid conflict because they like peace. They prefer easy and compromised resolution. And that probably doesn't cover everything about a peace lover. But a peacemaker is different to somebody who loves peace. Because a peacemaker doesn't iron over the cracks or smooth over the cracks or sweep issues under the rug. A peacemaker wants to resolve conflict. A peacemaker will highlight the need for justice. A peacemaker will uncover the causes of inequity and wrongdoing and injustice. And a peacemaker will always seek to restore and to reconcile. And so a peace lover, somebody who loves the peace and, if necessary, will just ignore or sweep issues under the rug, a peacemaker will say, no, we've got to deal with this, because true peace will only exist for everyone if we deal with the issues and we work to restore and reconcile. Now, making peace, this peacemaker thing, I suggest, is a work of God. And the passage that I read earlier in the service from 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says this: God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And literally, God was in Christ. The word for world here is cosmos. God was in Christ reconciling the entire cosmos. Everything you can think of was being reconciled back to God. And I find this a really extraordinary idea. Because what the Apostle Paul is saying is, when Jesus walked around on the earth, and when he met people, and when he sat down and ate with people, and when he went into people's homes that nobody else would go into because they were regarded as sinners, or in those days they used to regard some people as unclean, and Jesus would go and have meals with them and welcome them. When Jesus was doing all this, and when Jesus was reaching out and healing and helping and blessing those who were on the edges of society, the ostracized, if you like, when Jesus was doing all of this, and when Jesus was suffering and when Jesus was dying, the Apostle Paul says, in all of that, God was at work. And it's as if we'd had eyes to see it, almost like X-ray eyes, if we could have seen spiritually from God's perspective, what was God doing? As Jesus walked and did all those things and blessed people and impacted people's lives and spoke to them, God in Jesus was doing this work of reconciling, bringing all of the cosmos, all of creation back to God. And it actually goes on, you might remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. So in other words, God in Jesus was doing this amazing work of drawing everybody back. And we might say, but they're sinners. They've done wrong. They're all sorts of things. And Paul says, God wasn't counting on that at all. But in love and mercy and kindness in Jesus, God was doing this amazing reconciliation work. And I think this word reconciliation is another word for peacemaking, because peacemaking is about reconciliation. Now, I want to introduce you to this guy. Anybody? It's not anybody's relative, I shouldn't think. Karl Barth. Now, Karl Barth is Swiss, or was Swiss. He died a good number of years ago. He was brought up in a town in Switzerland called Basel. And Karl Barth is perhaps one of the most significant and influential theologians of the 20th century. And most of us have never heard of him. But the influence of his thinking and his writing has had massive implications for many, many church folk. Now, Karl Barth studied God's word, and he loved God, and he loved to study the Bible. And as a teacher in Basel, he stood in the 1930s when Nazis were coming to power in Germany and their influence was spreading across certain parts of Europe. There were those, even in Switzerland, who suggested that they should accede power to the Nazis. And Karl Barth spoke passionately and powerfully against the Nazis. He even at one time had a job teaching in Germany, and he lost that job simply because he refused to sign a declaration supporting the Nazis. He was a man of many, many words. I think over his lifetime he wrote at least 1 million words, if not more. He was once asked to sum up what is the Christian faith. Professor Barth, you have written so much and thought so much. And he was asked, can you sum up the Christian faith? And do you know what he said? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Which I thought was a beautiful, beautiful thing. But the reason I'm introducing him today, because he knew what it was to live in a world of great conflict. And a lot of his thinking and writing and theologizing emerged from a time of great conflict. And he said this, reconciliation is God's active and superior yes to man. Reconciliation is God's active and superior yes to man. And this word superior, he said, is to say whatever negative things are going on, whether that's Nazism or sin or anything, God's yes to the world in Jesus is bigger and stronger and more powerful than all of the no's in the world.
And this was his reflection upon God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Making peace is indeed a work of God. God acts in love, always, because God is love. God works justice, so God is putting stuff back together. He's righting wrongs. He's dealing with inequity. So God acts in love. He works justice. And God creates peace. So making peace is a work of God. But making peace is a work also of those who live in the kingdom of God. And we might say, well, we would like to be those who live within the kingdom of God. We would like to be those who place Jesus at the center of our lives, of our thinking, of our doing. We would like to be those who live in the kingdom of God. And making peace is a work of those who live in the kingdom of God. And I suggest making peace is a sign of those who live in the kingdom of God. How do you know? We can easily, can't we, say, oh yeah, I live in the kingdom of God. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I believe this or that or the other. And I think making peace, seeking reconciliation and restoration, is a sign. It's a sign of those who live in the kingdom of God. And so, a bit like God, we act, seek to act in love. We're committed to justice and we work always for peace. And here you go. There's your pictures. So it's a heart thing. Oh, that shouldn't have gone all the way up there. You know. It's a heart thing, acting in love. That's about character. That's about who we are truly. It's not something we put on. It comes from our hearts. Now, justice, that's about hearing and seeing. Hearing and seeing. Now, I'm aware of this, that I can walk around and I can walk around Evesham, let alone anywhere else. And I don't know about you, but I know I can be blinkered to stuff. I can be blinkered or almost blind to things. I can close my ears to what's going on. But if we're committed to justice, we're saying, well, help me to see. Help me to hear the inequities, the stuff that's not in the right place, the people who are done down or put on the outside or whatever it is, the people who are abused and used. And then we work for peace. And to work for peace is dealing with the justice that we see and hear. So we've got those three things. The heart, it's about love. The eyes and ears, it's about seeing our commitment to justice. And it's about working for peace. If I do that again. Oh, that's the one it should have been. Okay. So hopefully, if anything else, we can remember those symbols. Blessed are the peacemakers. They act from the heart. Their ears and their eyes are open. And their hands are ready to work to make things different, to reconcile and restore. So let's pray together at this point. Lord Jesus, you are the center of our thinking, our living, the center of our believing. Lord Jesus, we would seek to set our minds and our eyes upon you. And so we do very sincerely read and reflect upon your life and your teaching. We want to live and work like Jesus in simplicity and humility. We pray that we would be peacemakers like Jesus. We pray that our hearts may truly be filled with and overflow with love. We pray that our eyes and our ears may be open so that we can see things as they truly are, and we won't be deceived, and we will see where there is a need for justice. But Lord Jesus, we also pray that we would be ready with our hands, as it were, ready to work, to do all that needs to be done to bring about peace. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.